Well, I want us continue in this series, but I want to go back. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. There's just a little bit that I want to tie up here. So Beth and I were talking about this passage that I shared with you last week. And so I went, and this passage is just this one verse, Philippians 1:29, that I shared with you last week and looked at it with you. And it's just I can't get around it. And so I got out my Greek books, and I was looking through this verse. And it says, and if you remember, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And before we pray and get started, I want to point this out. That word granted, or some in some of your translations, it may say given. There's three Greek words for that we translate into the English, and it given. And in Greek is much more expressive of a language than English is wonderful and is strong as the English language is Greek. And I think this is part of why I believe in Galatians 4:4, at the fullness of time he sent his son. I think one of the reasons why God chose to send his son at that time was that his words, his message would be couched in the Greek language. Because it is so expressive and strong. And this is one example that I want to give you because it fits exactly where we are. So there's three words for given or granted, okay, that they translate into the Greek or from the into English as granted or given from Greek. This Greek word in this verse right here is the Greek word that he is saying. It is a grace. He is giving you grace, that he is pouring out his grace upon you, that it is the word he's using. He's saying, I'm not only giving you grace unto salvation, I'm giving you grace unto salvation and also into suffering. And so he's saying, the Apostle Paul is saying here, he's saying, these trials, troubles, the struggles of life, the things that are constantly hounding us, as we will see, I'll read a quote to you from Spurgeon today, from cradle to grave, that we never escape. This is God's grace in your life. That's why this series is called The Suffering of Grace in Christ Jesus. That these are gifts to you to show us, and we've gone through all of these things, and this verse right here, really, that we could end the whole series and say, listen, you just need to know Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. It's God's grace for us to walk in this world and suffer for his glory and honor. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you on this very special day that we celebrate our Lord entering in to the holy city of Jerusalem, riding on that foal. As all the people praise him, Lord, we remember on this day how fickle our faith is. That one day we can be praising him, and the next day we cry out, "Crucify him." Lord, forgive us for our fickleness, our weakness, our frailty, our brokenness. Forgive us that everything in the world so easily besets us, and we find and we easily chase after so many distractions. Lord, grant us repentance. As Sonny prayed, Lord, please don't leave us to ourselves. Please stoop. Please pour out your Spirit upon us. As we open your word, as we look into this difficult study, Lord, help us to grow. Help us to see that this is part of your plan, that you grant suffering in our lives for your honor and glory, for our growth, but your glory. Put forth your Spirit. Do the work in us that only you can do. Lord, expose sin in our lives. Break us. Do whatever you have to do in our lives to bring you the most glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first couple of passages, we're going to look at several passages today. We'll be in 2 Corinthians. The first one's going to be in chapter 4, so you can go ahead and turn there. So today is going to be a little different. We're going to talk about the pain that comes in suffering. Good theology, as we have been talking about through this whole series, good theology is essential if we're going to suffer well, if we are going to suffer for the glory of God and do it well. And it will help, good theology will help us to persevere. It helps us as we walk through these trials of life, and good theology should always give us hope, even in the midst of our suffering and pain. You know, you can write this down, Psalm 30, verse 5, at the second half of it says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." How true is that? And it's not just referencing a night as, it is referencing night and day, but it's referencing a season. Do you understand? The scripture here is talking about that there's seasons of weeping and seasons of joy. It is really what this is referring to. And it is faith. And I've been laboring over the last several weeks, I think this is the eighth week of our series. As I've been laboring over the last few weeks to share with you that it is faith, our faith in a sovereign God, that helps us believe that Romans 8:28 is right, correct? That it's in all things. It's in everything that he works these things together for our good, right? that we, if we don't believe in a sovereign God, how in the world can we believe that this is true? And so that's part of having good theology. And we must never forget that there are nights that come, and sometimes nights that are long, and sometimes weeping seems uncontrollable. I'm sure without knowing everything, I'm sure that there have been times that everybody in this room has wept so hard, you have no more tears. I know I have been there, where you're really dry. There's no more tears to weep. But these things, sometimes the nights are a little longer and the weeping is a little bit longer. And that no amount of good theology, no matter how grounded, will ever be able to take the pain out of suffering. Do you get what I'm saying? It doesn't remove the pain. It will not stop the hurt in your life. It will help you have handles in the darkness. It will help you be able to stand when you don't know how to do that. It will give you strength in your legs and strength in your mind when you feel so lost. You feel so hurt and you are losing and you feel like you're going crazy. It helps you. Having good theology does not mean that when we are suffering, you will not hurt. And knowing the truth helps us. Understanding the truth helps us understand that it is for our good. And it never removes and dismisses and pushes aside the suffering. That part of why I believe, and this is just your country boy preacher's mentality, that I think our society is so crippled in a lot of ways, and the church is so weak-minded in a lot of ways and weak-spirited. Matter of fact, I want to say this. I told the young adults today, thank y'all for giving Beth and I the opportunity to sit with these young people in our church. And I'm so excited to share with them and for us to talk about difficult topics, because I want to help equip them and prepare them, because I told them life is tough. It's hard. And I want them to be strong-minded, and I want them to not flinch and not blink in this world, and they don't have to feel like the sky is falling. And I want to help them in this. And I want them to hear their pastor. I mean, they hear me on Sunday morning, but I want them to sit with me and us talk face to face and deal with and talk about these things. And so I'm excited about this. And my wife is excited about this. But having good theology doesn't remove the pain. And I think our churches in America have, in the West, and we've propagated this gospel all over the world. Do y'all know this? The health and wealth gospel. That if we're struggling, if there's pain, if there's trials in our lives, we feel like we have been taught it's evil. Literally. That it's not from God. And it's mind-boggling to me, because that is so contrary to Scripture. Completely opposite from Scripture. And matter of fact, as we talked about last week, do you remember how can we believe that we deserve better than Jesus? Do you remember that point? But we do have that mindset. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it says this. This is a passage we've used a bunch of times the last few weeks. For our light affliction, which for a moment is working for us and for a far exceedingly eternal great joy. So Paul is saying these light momentary afflictions, and let me explain, let me give you the context of this, that it's preparing us for the great weight of glory. Amen? Let me explain what a light momentary affliction is. Are you ready? It's real simple. It's your whole life. Let that weigh on you. Yes, he is talking about, and in the Greek construction, it is talking about specific trials that come into our lives. But in the greater context of this chapter, and especially in 2 Corinthians in the book, he's talking about this is your life. And he is labeling it. And I'm about to share the magnitude of what this verse, what 4:17 means. He's sharing with you, the Apostle Paul is saying these are light, momentary afflictions. Okay? Now, let's just get a glimpse of the Apostle Paul's light, momentary afflictions. Are you ready? Turn with me just a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to just read to you. Let's just start in verse 22. But we are going to go down to verse... Well, we can go down to 33. But let's stop at verse 29. 28. Okay, let's just read. Let's start at verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Okay, this is where I want you to really tune in and listen. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Do you know what stripes, do you know what he's talking about? Beatings. In prison more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews alone, not the Greeks, the Jews alone. 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils, in perilous waters, in perilous robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger, thirst, in fasting often, in cold, and nakedness, besides the other things, things he didn't even list. He's given this list and he's like, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for the churches. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. We see, and he goes on. So when he talks about light, momentary afflictions, you now have a better conflict of what Paul is describing. And he's saying, guys, compared to the greater weight of glory, compared to what we are walking towards, it's just for a moment, right? The crying, the weeping, the brokenness, the pain is just for a moment. We have been talking about, let's embrace this. Let's don't try to push it aside. Let's embrace the pain of our suffering. Let's learn. Let's lean upon it and learn for ourselves the fear of great value, the far greater value of it, of the eternal weight of glory. So let's learn from this. Let's look at pain in the Scriptures. Now, there is no way, I'm going to tell you, and I literally had to pull myself back. I had 12 or 13 points, and I was like, Griffin, we cannot do this. And I had a long conversation with myself, and I thought I need to just give them the very top, and they need to get the rest. So, am I the only one that's having a hot flash? I must be going through menopause. Okay, because I'm, okay. Well, okay, let's marvel at the eternal weight of glory by embracing our pain. Let's look at that. This. The first thing is the reality. I want you to see the reality of pain in Scripture. Turn with me to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. Let's just look at this. Rodney, you don't have to turn anything on. Okay, you did. Okay. Woo! I'm glad I'm not preaching in China. No, that's not true. I wish I was. Okay, Psalm 88. And I want you to see the reality of this and how godly people flesh this out in their lives. Psalm 88. I'm going to just read it real quickly. Lord, God of my salvation. Listen to this. I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to me. He's saying, do you hear me? For my soul is full of troubles and my life draws near to the grave. Hello? I feel like I'm about to die. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit in the darkness of the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me and your affliction, and you afflicted me with all your waves. The waves. You get it? You've afflicted me with these waves. You have put away my acquaintance far from me. You've put people at distance from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up. I cannot get out. My eyes waste away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead. Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave? He's saying, Lord, how can I do these things if I'm fading away and I can't make it? Are your faithfulness in the places of destruction? Shall your wonders be unknown in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of the forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord. Here it is. And in the morning, my prayer comes to you. Amen. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I've been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They come around me all day long like waters. They engulf me altogether. Loved one and friend, you have put far from me and my acquaintances into the darkness. That's pain. That is real pain. That is what going through great struggles and suffering, that is a good description. And our Lord gave it to us. And you know, as I was reading about this psalm, do you know that there were some commentators that would say, why is this even in Scripture? And I'm thinking, praise the Lord! Because when I'm going crazy, I can read that, right? And go, Lord, you get me! Because here it is in your word. When those midnight cries come upon us and we are struggling so badly, there it is. Right? God's word identifies. It gets me. The pain is real. It's here. Spurgeon said this. Great travail is created for all men. A heavy yoke on the sons of Adam. From the day that they go out from their mother's womb until the day they return to the earth in death. I'm going to tell you something about Charles Spurgeon that you guys may not know. Is Dr. Spurgeon struggled with severe depression. He wrote about it. Matter of fact, you can read about it. It will shock you. And he talks about the real struggle, the pain of being depressed and being down and struggling with life. And you may think, how can God was using this man doing so much? And man, was God using Spurgeon. I meant to change the world at that time. And he struggled with the darkness of depression. He talks about that there are times that he could not even lift his head off his pillow. Try that one on for size. Literally, that he could not physically, he did not have enough strength in his body to lift his head off his pillow. If you want to read about it, it's called The Fainting Fits of a Minister. Read it. He's honest. And we need to embrace this, and we need to be honest about it. So that we can deal rightly with it, with ourselves, so we can understand ourselves better, that we live in a broken world, a fallen world, and we are all broken people. There are sometimes in everyone's life, in everybody's life, when we have hard times, making ourselves get out of bed in the morning. And we find it hard to find the energy that we need to do the things that we need to do. Our pain and our grief is so great, it's hard. It's hard to concentrate. It's hard to focus. And we find little energies, little times to even pray as we should or read our Bibles. The Lord feels distant. And doubts come by waves. Different doubts. It doesn't have to be so, it doesn't have to be doubts about the Lord, although those do come, but it's doubts about everything, right? It's doubts about ourselves. It's doubts about the greatest relationships we have in our lives. Different waves that come, the reality of them that come and break upon us. The Lord feels distant. And of course, we know as we whisper to ourselves, the Lord is not far from us. But it's hard to see. It's hard to understand. And anyone can follow. Listen, hear this. Anyone, and Spurgeon said this. This is his words. Anyone can follow a narrow path when the light is shining, but it takes faith to enable us to walk the path when the light, when the path is darkened, right? Or when it's hard to see. Between now and heaven, I'm going to share with you even right now, today, from this day until the day we are with our Lord in heaven. Hear me. There's rough waters coming. They're going to come. It's going to happen. There's rough waters coming. There's brokenness coming. We live in a broken, fallen world. Let's not waver. Let's not fall. Let's don't quit, right? Let's don't stray. Let's trust. Listen, as the scripture says, let's trust under the shadow of the Almighty, right? There's a reason that scripture talks about being in the shadow of the Almighty. Those are the dark times of life, right? Let's look at a couple of passages. Psalm 36. Verse 7. Or you can write it. And there's so many of these. If you just look in the wings of God or the shadow of the Almighty or His shadow. There's so many scriptures. I'm going to just give you a couple. Psalm 36, 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wing. The shadow of your wing. Isaiah 25:4. Isaiah 25:4. For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the blast of the terrible the terrible one is as a storm against the wall. Shade from the heat. So the reality of pain is real. It's not something that we just can push away. Second point. That was the first point. The reality of pain. Psalm 88. I'm sorry. I know Gina's probably going, are you going to give points? Did you got, okay. Did you get it, Greta? Rachel? You got it? Okay. So point number one, the reality of pain, Psalm 88. Point number two, the problem with pain, Psalm 34. But I'm going to read one verse to you. 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them. What's that last word? All. That's the truth. That is the gospel truth. God does deliver us from all of it. The problem is we want it done now, right? That's the issue. That's the problem, is that we're not trusting the Lord in this. And as we talked about last week, there's sometimes the Lord has to take many of us continuously to the woodshed, right? Some of us learn easier than others. But there's some of us, you may be sitting there going, why is this continuously happening? Do you want me to tell you? You have an F in that class. Right? Y'all are being real quiet. In that particular lesson, you're not passing. The problem with pain we have in American Christianity, we don't like pain and suffering. We don't want to confront grief and deal rightly with it. Listen to me. We want to push it aside. We want to skirt it. We don't want to look at it eyeball to eyeball. We don't want to sit down with it. We don't want to work through it. Listen, we have entertainment. We have modern medicine. We have wealth. We have all these crutches in life that help us avoid a lot of the suffering in our lives. But isn't God so faithful? Suffering is a universal truth. It touches everyone without exception. I want you to know, if you really like people in your family, people that you are praying for and want to minister to and want to share the gospel with, and you feel like they're just so hard to it, and just be patient. You know why? Because suffering's universal and it's coming. And when it comes and hits that person a particular way, then you are ready. You know why? Because you've been praying for some of y'all for years. Years. I know some of you. Some of you have been praying for your adult children for years and years and years. It's coming. It's like that little monkey on Night of the Museum. The storm's coming, right? Did y'all even see that? So the storm's coming. Just wait. Just wait. Be patient. Be patient with yourself. Suffering is universal and it touches all. But in America, boy, when it comes into our lives, we just want to check it off the list. We want to push it aside. We want to do anything that we can do to just to remove the consequences or remove the pain and the feelings of it. Listen, do you know that in some cultures, when a loved one dies, that they have days and days of mourning? I've thought about this so much in America, and we feel uncomfortable with mourning. Do you know that when Joseph died, you can look it up, it's in Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph died, God, and y'all know the story of Joseph. God blessed Joseph so much, and he literally saved the whole world. Did you know that? Y'all do know that Joseph saved the whole world, but he saved the Egyptians. And do you know that in that chapter, the Egyptians, they were not even God-fearers. They mourned Joseph's death for 70 days. Because they respected him so much. They knew the blessings that came through this man, even though they were not God-fearers. And the scripture says they mourned Joseph's death for 70 days. And I was like, wow. I don't think that we even know how to give ourselves a breath to be able to mourn correctly. I don't mean shut down. I don't mean close everybody out. That I mean mourn rightly before God, right? Do it rightly. Trusting, but hurting, embracing it, walking with it, and trusting a few people that you know are godly people that you can talk to about the pain in your life, the hurt, the problem that we have with this is that we just don't let God do His work, the processing of this. I don't think we know how. I'll be honest with you, and this is just me. You know how I deal with hurt and pain in my life is I just work. I just go out and work, sweat, and it doesn't matter. But I need to process it. That's not a bad thing, but I need to process it in real time with real people. Does that make sense? And we get uncomfortable, right? Don't we? We get uncomfortable. And it's alarming to us when we see our people, our loved ones that are going through pain and suffering, and especially when we hear things like them finding fault. They find their own faults and they deal with regrets and they feel loss and they even feel like they're losing their minds. They're going crazy. They feel forsaken and alone. And they even are mad. Even mad. And it makes us all uncomfortable and we want to try to give them a word or something just to minimize it just a little bit. And that is not evil. That doing that is not evil. But there's something about letting God take you through the process of this pain of suffering. and knowing that the morning is going to come, but that you need to walk through it. And we all walk at different pace through this, right? Part of the problem is that we don't believe that such pain and deep grief is normal. And we don't believe it belongs in a believer's life. And I'm telling you today that it is healthy if you do it rightly. Do you understand there's a right way to do this? It is healthy to mourn. It is healing to mourn. And it is right for us to go through and mourn and struggle. And can I say this? I believe it's part of our Heavenly Father's plan in our lives, for us to walk through this. All right. The last two points really kind of go together, but I want to touch on them. Point number three, the depth of pain. The depth of pain. So the problem with pain is I think it's normal and there's a process to walk through it that everybody needs to go through instead of just pushing it aside. And not dealing rightly with it. The depth of pain. Psalm 77, almost done. Psalm 77, verse 7 through 9 says this. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed for forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? The depth of pain. Have you ever felt the Lord has turned His back on you? And so that you question whether you should, which way to go, and you have all these doubts and what's going on. Have you felt that His love for you has ended? He doesn't love me. And His promises were void. Have you ever said, "Where's your grace for me?" That's what this says right here. God, where's your grace for me? Why will you not comfort me? Why will you not do this for me? There are times that pain is so deep and you're so hurt that the truth in our hearts and our minds have a hard time. We have a hard time holding and standing, and we're wobbly and in the midst of it. And our God is a big God who can handle all of our questions. There's not a question you have that He cannot handle. Not doubts, not fears, not angers, not anger, not hurt. If this isn't clear, just read the Psalms. That's why part of the reason why I'm reading these over and over, because in this is real life. This is men pouring out their hearts in real time. They're They're laying their hearts bare in their confusion and doubt. Just spend time in the Psalms if you want to see how deep the hurts and pains go. Hear me, hear me. The Lord cares about you in the midst of your pain. Read it. Sonny read Psalm 51 today. That was over David's personal sin and fault. I just read to you Psalm 88. That's where life was just so overwhelming. They just felt crushed. It's throughout the Psalms. Men laying bare before God, crying out for God's help. God's goal in your suffering is not to just leave you there. That's not, believe me, that is not His goal. He's not allowing or bringing, or this is not happening in your life for Him to leave you there. That is not what He's doing. But He is right there, guiding you whether you realize it or not. Now, some of you are stubborn, just like me, and we fight and listen, and we kick against the goads, right? I'm that way. Your pastor is that way, is that I'm fighting against my help. Do you understand? God is trying to help me and grow me through this, and I'm fighting Him. I don't mean to, and I know, I believe that y'all don't mean to, but you are. You are, and I am. And so the pain gets deep, and we don't deal with it, and it gets deeper and deeper. His goal is not to just leave you there, but He wants us to see His face in the midst of it. He wants us to hold His hand in the midst of it. Crying and broken, He wants us to see Him. Now, the fourth point kind of is the end of the third point. Hope. Hope in your pain. He wants us to see His face, but He wants us to have hope. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 22. Y'all, I hope you know about Psalm 22. I hope everybody in this room knows about Psalm 22. It's a messianic psalm. It's the psalm that Jesus quoted as He hung on the cross. You need to know about Psalm 22. And hear me when I say this. Though our Lord only quoted the first verse, hear me when I say this. Don't think that our Lord Jesus didn't have the whole psalm in mind. Do you hear me? He was hanging on the cross, struggling for breath. And He quotes, He gives the first verse, and I believe with all my soul, He meant this whole chapter. He was identifying Himself in this chapter. Let's read it. I'm going to just read just a first. I really need to read down to three, but I'm going to read. Oh, man. Where do I stop? I'm going to read. My God, Why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But you are holy. I want you to note that. We're going to come back to that one point. But you are holy. There's great, we need to under, if you don't hear anything else I say, that you need to hear this. You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and you were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. They cried in you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Let's go back to the first part of verse 3. You are holy. There's two things that I'm going to try to help you see the difference in this. In him saying, but you are holy. And I think this will help you and me. The first thing is this, in the midst of our pain. Now think about this psalm and think about our Lord on the cross and him crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But you are holy. I think that was the cry and the prayer of our Lord. There's other things, but I want you to get this. But you are holy. In the midst of our pain, God's holiness is the preserver of life. It helps us when we are falling into the abyss. It is the one hope. It is the only hope. It is the life preserver. Because he is holy, his plan for our life, God's plan for Brandon Griffin is perfect, right? Because he is holy, there is no mistakes. That's why predestination and election has to be couched in the holiness of God, because he does everything perfectly, right? No mistakes. But he does that in our lives every day, in our suffering, in our strife. You know, he knew about this little boy that was born out of wedlock, struggled all of his life, never had a hope and a prayer. That was all part of his plan. He was working his glory. All I thought I was doing was surviving, fighting, struggling every day. But God was working his plan out perfectly. He's doing it in all of our lives, in your life. Each of our lives as believers. You are holy. Your plan is perfect for our lives. There's no mistakes. He works all things out for his good, right? Don't we believe that? Truly. With all my quirks and weirdnesses, and I have tons of them, God has been doing that work forming in me for his honor, for his glory. There were no mistakes. So the first part of this, but you are holy, is our Lord acknowledging on the cross, God, you, this is the plan, and it's right. Second part is this. In the midst of our pain, God's holiness will keep us from losing, from Him losing any of us in the abyss. God doesn't lose us. We don't slip through His hands. What He starts in us, He will complete. Amen? That was our memory verse. That's our memory verse for the month. He doesn't lose any of us. This is why I say this. Why was Christ on the cross? Was it for Him? No. Who was it for? Us. And so Christ is praying. He's saying, Lord, I know Your plan is perfect and this is right. And Lord, You're not going to lose any of them. Amen? You're going to do this work. You're going to complete this in Your people. Do you know what that means? That means we have hope, that I have hope that every one of us is going to be completed upon the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? As much as I worry about you guys, as much as I think about you and pray for you and walk around and think of you guys and pray, I know God is going to complete His work in you guys. Glory. Amen. And guess what? As much as I worry about my kids, I've got to trust that. As much as you guys are worried. And so in this prayer of our Lord's, when He quotes out of Psalm 22, the first verse, I think He has all of this in His heart. And He's saying, but Lord, You are holy. And so I say this to you, a simple question. Here it is. If you don't trust the Lord in your life, in the pain and suffering, the things that you don't understand, if not God, then who? I want to know that answer. You are going to trust yourself more than God? Really? No, I'm being serious. Someone else? If you don't trust Him with all things, if not God, then who or what? I choose to trust a perfect, holy God. Amen? Because our God is holy, because He is holy, we have hope. Because we can trust that whatever comes into our lives, however painful, however deep, however, we can trust that there is a perfect plan that He has. Right? I want to read one passage to you. Maybe two. I might lie. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Yeah, I do. I want to read this. Isaiah 43, verse 1 through... Let's just do 1 through 3. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you O Jacob. He's talking about his people. For the explain, he's talking to his children specifically. And he who formed you, O Israel. Look at this. Look at this. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. Look at it. You are, what does it say? Mine. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, not if you pass through the waters, right? What? That's a present active indicative. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, look at it. They shall not what? What does it say? Overflow you. When you walk through the fire, what does it say? You shall not be burned. Nor shall the what? Flame what? Scorch you or singe you. For I am the Lord your God. Look, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. You know, when we are here together and we read these things and look at these things, we go, amen. Yes. And you know why? Part of it, this is a spiritual thing. I want you to understand, this is the communion of saints. That when we gather together, we have strength. So this is what I want you to do. When you walk out those doors and the world and the waves start hitting you and the river feels like it's going to overflow, call somebody. Right? Let's pray. Man, I called Greg. Greg, I'm going to use you as an example. Is that okay? I think it was Friday. And I said, Greg, I was all excited. We're talking about Ligonier. And Greg was patient and listening. He said, hey, listen. We've had a long week. Will you pray for us? And as he was pouring out his heart, I was thinking, absolutely, I'm going to text the guys. I'm going to let them know. I could text the guys. I was like, man, we need to pray for the rentals. They're struggling. That's right to do. And then we come back together on Sunday, and guess what? We praise the Lord together. Right? And we do this together. And none of us is perfect. We're all broken. We're needy. And we need Jesus. And we need each other. Right? That's the right thing to do. Pain and suffering here is normal. It's normal, right? Fears, doubts, craziness, losing it, loneliness. Everything else that you may feel, my brain, I can't even think for you. All of this, it's normal. It's normal. You're not crazy. Stop acting like you got everything together. We need Jesus. Just like the great hymn, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. When we are in the pit of despair, we must understand that the Lord is our only hope, right? And when we see our friends and loved ones in despair, we need to understand the Lord is their only hope, right? Do you get what I'm saying? You aren't the Savior. Do you understand that? He alone is holy. He alone is the only one that can help. So as we wait, as Spurgeon says, as we wait for the coming of our Lord and the making of all things new, when we go home to be with Him, there's going to be many nights and many mornings. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the truth that we can find in it that helps us, Lord, that helps us interpret all the stuff going on around us. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for not trusting You in the middle of our darkest nights. And forgive us, Lord, for not loving each other better in their darkest nights. We're scared, Lord. We just want to lay out a plan. We want to check it off. We want to, Lord, help us to just trust You. You are the Holy One. I thank You for what You're doing in our body. I thank You for the healing and the brokenness, the laughter and the tears. God, I thank You for what You're doing here at New Hope. May You get all the glory and honor. The benediction is this. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And all of God's people said, Amen.
If you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology together and be dismissed.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,